and dreams. It's become a nightmare. Signs of the time on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our city, and an unspoken fear.
Now, get ready for the radio edition of the world's largest independent news resource, WorldNetDaily.com. Joseph Vera invites you to take America back. Now, it's time for you to get active with Joseph Vera's WorldNet Daily Radioactive. Here's Joseph Vera.
Hello, fellow truth seekers. You've come to the right place at the right time to take America back. This is Joseph Vera's WorldNet Daily Radioactive coming here from Washington, D.C., and this is the show where we believe in winning, not whining, victory, not victimhood, courage, not compromise. You want to get in on the action, give us a call. 877-232-4855. And man, for you first time callers today, have we got a deal. Have I got a deal for you? As you know, we normally give away books to first time callers here every day. We spoil you. No other talk show does this for first time callers. But today, I am giving away an annual subscription to my premium online intelligence newsletter, G2 Bulletin, a $99 value. In fact, you know, a month ago, that would have been $199. We just reduced the price. So the previous price was $199. It's yours free just for being a first-time caller today and participating right here in the National Dialogue at 877-232-4855. Well, we got a very special guest, or guests, I should say, joining us right now. You may remember we talked about last month on this program. Joseph Bannister was taken into custody November 19th by IRS agents. He was released on $25,000 bond after pleading not guilty to a charge of conspiracy to defraud the government. Three counts of aiding and assisting the filing of false tax returns for a client. Joe Bannister is a certified public accountant in California, former IRS agent, and very active in the tax honesty movement. We're here today to talk to you about his big victory in that case, but also to talk about how he has changed his mind and become somebody who used to be an IRS enforcer. I mean, this is one of the guys who came, you know, with the guns after you went. And now he believes that we aren't required to pay federal income taxes. Welcome to the program, Joe, and I hope you can introduce your fellow guests today.
Hi, Joseph. Thanks for having me. I like your bumper music, Steve Voss.
Hey, you recognize it.
Yeah. My attorneys, Robert Bernhoft and Robert Barnes. Should be fun with Joseph, Robert, and Robert.
There we go. That makes it easier.
I'd say Robert Bernhoft has a little deeper voice and Robert Barnes, but they're both part of my legal team. And, boy, I'm sure glad that they are alive and chose the legal profession.
Well, we want to congratulate them, too, on your big victory last month. Joe, I want to just start by sort of introducing you in, you know, more detail to our audience. I want you to start by telling us your story. Now, I mean, you were a law enforcement guy. You always wanted to be a cop. I've heard you tell your story in public, and it's a compelling story. I want you to tell us your story of how you became an IRS agent.
Okay. Well, graduated from college back in 86 and was in the private sector from 86 through 92. And had progressed, you know, become a certified public accountant and basically looked at what my boss was doing and where I would progress and thought, you know, I'm just not going to be able to stay awake doing this kind of accounting work for the rest of my life. Needed a little more excitement in my life. So I decided to apply to the FBI and the IRS Criminal Investigation Division to become a special agent or a criminal investigator. And it's a long story as to why the FBI didn't work out. They basically had a hiring freeze, and I just couldn't get hired. But the IRS was searching for candidates, and in August of 1993, they offered me a job there. And, you know, I had my heart set on the FBI. The IRS didn't have any TV shows about it or, you know, they weren't the people that people love to watch and learn about. But I learned that it was, you know, pretty high-speed type job. You investigated money launderers and people who went to great lengths to scheme and scam the federal government and the U.S. Treasury. And I thought that my financial skills would actually be, you know, best suited for a job in the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't shaking down people for meal receipts and things like that. These were high-level investigations of whether it be tax evaders, the money launderers, drug dealers, you know, very, very interesting work. And for the first 3 years of work, 94, 1995, and 1996, I enjoyed my work immensely.
What happened to turn that around?
Well, I was listening to talk radio.
As I recall, you were listening to one of our WorldNet Daily columnists, actually two of our WorldNet Daily columnists, one former and one present, D.V. Kidd and Jeff Metcalf, who, by the way, Jeff Metcalf was the original talk show host for WorldNet Daily. He had a syndicated show many years ago before this one. And you were listening to them discussing, fill in the blanks.
Discussing the federal income tax system. And at the time I heard this show, you know, it was Jeff, you know, a very credible person, not agenda-driven, just talking about the truth and, you know, issues. And, you know, people can check out what he says and find out that it's true. And normally I would do that. But then when I heard him talk about the income tax and have D.V. Kidd as a guest talking about the income tax, the problem for me was that they were saying that the income tax was largely a voluntary system, that because of constitutional restraints, Americans weren't really required to pay it, and actually the IRS's own literature said so. Well, when I heard them say that, I thought, this is crazy. I mean, this can't possibly be true. If it was some other host I'd never listened to before, I would have dismissed it, but because it was Jeff Metcalf and he had led me to believe he was an honorable person prior to that, I thought, well, either I can't read people very well, which is a very career-limiting attribute for a criminal investigator, or there's something to this. And so in January of 1997, I began to research and investigate this claim that they were making that the federal income tax was not, you know, as mandatory as people said it was.
What kinds of things did you do to research that topic, Joe?
Well, I made many, many trips to the Santa Clara County Law Library. I used D.V. Kidd's booklets as kind of a springboard. She had a lot of large bibliography in the back. And so I went to the, you know, the regular library and the law library, the Internet, and just began this very intense investigation part-time, you know, on evenings and weekends, and just began to accumulate evidence either supporting this claim or showing that it wasn't true.
What was the basis for your conclusion ultimately? What's the, you know, without getting into a lot of nitty-gritty details, what's the essence of the reason that you feel that the income tax is just not, it doesn't apply to Americans, that we don't have an obligation?
Well, basically the constitutional restraints, which are severe, you know, because of who our founders of this nation were and what they had encountered in their day and age, those constitutional restraints are well known by the Congress and by the Treasury Department and the IRS. And so when they've actually set out to write the laws, statutes, the regulations, when you take the time to read them, you find that the who they embrace are actually much more limited than the everyday practices of the IRS. And so it was that contradiction or variance or conflict between the everyday practices of the IRS and what I was reading in the statutes and regulations that caused me to confront my supervisors at the IRS and say, what's going on here? I would expect to see justification in these laws passed by Congress, but I'm not seeing it. So can you please help me to see it?
And what was their reaction?
Their reaction was to put me on administrative leave immediately, take my firearm, and tell me to be on call and to stay at home for 7 days to decide what my next move would be. So they didn't fire me, but they did basically encourage my resignation. And I was concerned that my, up to that point, was a very good reputation at the IRS. I didn't want them to smear it or do the kinds of things that normally happen to whistleblowers.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to resign, and I resigned in February of 1999.
And then did you resume your CPA practice immediately, or what happened at that point?
I tried to. I mean, it's been 5.5 years that I was in the IRS, so my network of contacts was a bit rusty.
And you had a real problem, I would imagine, too, going back to your old line of work, given the realizations, the understandings you now had. How would you serve your clients?
Yeah, well, that was difficult. What I chose to do was to not encourage people, you know, to go down the road of taking on the IRS one-on-one, although I certainly encountered a lot of people that had, you know, on their own volition, gone down that road and decided to assert their rights and assert their beliefs about the limited application of the tax. I just didn't, you know, I didn't act like the Pied Piper leading people there, other than to let them know my story and my encounters with the IRS as one of their own employees, asking these same type questions. And, you know, rather than answer me or give me some direction, they just cut me loose. And I mean, I had a reputation for being an excellent special agent. I had been promoted to grade 13. I was the asset forfeiture coordinator, the organized crime drug enforcement task force coordinator. You know, I wasn't a slug. I mean,
mm-hmm.
But yet they treated me as such when they just showed me the door when I had a few questions. And I was, you know, telling them plainly that I had taken an oath to support and defend the Constitution, and I felt I had a duty to get these issues resolved. And their answer was, there's the door, you know, get the hell out of here.
Our guest is Joseph Bannister. He just won a big case against the IRS. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about how he became an activist in the tax honesty movement when we get back. If you'd like to join the conversation, get in on the action here. Give us a call at 877-232-4855.
The fight for Alaska's statehood began in the late 19th century with the gold rushes, but it wasn't until the discovery of black gold that statehood would become a reality in 1959. Join YMT and Joseph Arrow listeners aboard your luxurious five-star Holland America cruise ship in Alaska, June 6, 2006. You fly to Seattle, explore Vancouver, then board the MS Volendam for 7 days cruising the Inside Passage. Experience the natural beauty of Alaska, stopping in Juneau, Skagway, Ketchikan, and 60-mile-long Glacier Bay. After your cruise, discover British Columbia, then travel through the Big Sky Country, Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho. Wow! Visit Yellowstone, too, all from only $1,549 plus tax. 800-922-9000 includes hotels, cruise, meals on ship, and all adventure through Alaska and the Great Northwest. It's pure gold. Call YMT Vacations, 800-922-9000. America's best choice for affordable travel since 1967. 800-922-9000.
Hi friends, this is Bill Begley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement, Focus Factor, absolutely free. Now why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, a $75 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-515-2126. That's 1-800-515-2126. Limit one bottle per household. Again, it's 1-800-515-2126.
Gold is back in the news, as I knew it would be. Why is gold rising, asks CNN? Because, quote, rising oil and gold together usually signal serious inflation ahead. But here's the best news. Gold could double faster than real estate in the next 5 years, according to the experts. That's right. Now's the moment to take action before prices start flying higher. Call the experts on gold in my book, Swiss America, at 800-289-2646. That's 800-BUY-COIN. They'll explain how simple it is to diversify into gold, which is universally acknowledged as the best inflation-fighting asset the world's ever known. Ask for your copy of Rediscovering Gold, the book, and Economic Solutions, the magazine. Together, a $30 value, free today by calling now, 800-289-2646, 800-BUY-COIN. Discover why rising gold is inflation-proof.
How would you like to mingle with golf pros at major tour events or talk candidly with them in the locker room and get the story behind the story? Well, now there's a magazine that takes you where the news is breaking, a different kind of magazine, not found on newsstands. Golf World, the number one news magazine in golf. Golf World brings you in-depth coverage of all the major tournaments more than 40 times a year, weekly during peak season. Coverage that starts months in advance of the Masters and continues through to the PGA Championship follow-up. Take a close-up look at tour players having a breakthrough year. Golf World takes you inside their game and explores the secrets of their success. Order your one-year subscription to Golf World. You'll get more than 40 news-breaking issues for just $31.77. That's 40% off the regular subscription price. Order now and get a copy of 10 Swings from the Tour free with your paid subscription.
Call now, 1-800-443-7400. That's 1-800-443-7400.
Our guest is Joseph Bannister. He's a leading figure in the tax honesty movement, former IRS CID agent, resigned from that position, became an activist of the tax honesty movement. We got up to the part of your story, Joseph, where you resigned from the IRS. Tell us about how you got then, you know, you became an activist.
Thanks, Joseph. Basically, I began, you know, people were undeniably curious that a special agent, you know, one of the IRS's own criminal investigators, would seek answers to the kinds of questions that, you know, millions of Americans had wondered over the years. And so people asked me to start speaking, and I'd be on radio shows and travel to speaking engagements and tell my story. And of course, there'd be then videos and, you know, the audio tapes, and it would just continue to build and build and build. And I hooked up with a gentleman named Robert Schultz, who you may know, and he had begun to put full-page ads in USA Today and various newspapers. So the, you know, the interest just continued to grow, and really all I did was continue to tell my story, you know, that how strange it is that the IRS would choose to show me the door and say goodbye as opposed to explain the error of my analysis, if any, and help me to correct the thinking of, you know, millions of Americans who question the IRS's authority. So that was pretty much their stance. And then in 2003, the IRS filed a complaint against me seeking to prohibit me from assisting clients with IRS matters. And that in and of itself was just an absolute nightmare and railroad, which my attorneys might do good at explaining. And of course, in 2004, as you say, or as you mentioned, I was indicted on criminal conspiracy charges relating to assistance that I rendered to a client.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I've been exercising my First Amendment right to seek redress and to expose what I believe is wrongdoing on the part of the IRS. And they're kind of back there, you know, in the dark recesses waiting to pounce on me and shut me up, as opposed to just answering my questions, and I can help them to put this whole thing to bed.
Well, lots of people want to talk to you, Joseph, and I don't want to take up too much more of your time, so let's go to the callers and let's see what's on their mind. Let's start with Suzanne in San Francisco. Your question or comment.
Hi. Hi, Joe DeFerrin and Joe Bannister.
Hello.
Joe, you know Alan and I. My question is, because of your very wonderful win, you know, in your court case, does this in any way constitute new evidence that will help Al Thompson for his situation?
Actually, that'd probably be a good question to direct to my attorney, Bernoff.
Yes, Joe, it's a pleasure to be with you and your listeners today. In criminal cases like this, unfortunately for Mr. Thompson, the not guilty verdicts in Joe's case will not have a precedential effect on any remedies Mr. Thompson might have or on any appeal he might file.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in criminal cases, you've got to try each case separately. There's really, I guess, no such thing as a precedent. The facts differ from case to case, and even insignificant ways can make a difference. Appreciate the call, Suzanne. Let's go to Scott in North Carolina.
Hi, Joseph. Pleasure to have a chance to talk to you. I listen to you a lot. And I've never thought about calling in a radio station until I heard Joe Bannister was on. And I'm going to try to be as brief as I can, but this is so important to me. And I lived in Boston, Massachusetts, and in the year 2000, I joined the union. And, well, actually, in 99. In 2000, I had gone through so many jobs. I'm a carpenter. I'd gone through so many jobs. When I got all my tax forms, I got confused. I got angry, and I threw them all away. And I was telling a coworker about it. And the coworker said to me, "You don't even have to file. Let me tell you about this guy, Joe Bannister. Let me tell you about this place called GiveMeLiberty.org. Let me tell you about WorldNet Daily. They did an article on it," and all of these things. And I started attending these meetings. There was a very large group of people who were part of this. And I got into it because they said, "You don't need to know it all. We have a group of lawyers and accountants. We can help." And then I moved to North Carolina and lost touch with all of those people. And I wasn't filing all these years. And the government got a hold of me. They seized my accounts. And now I owe like $18,000, $19,000. And so I went to an accountant and paid him a couple thousand dollars. And he filed all of the tax forms for all the previous years, which is why I now owe all this money. And I'm wondering, well, I wanted to mention, because Joe Bannister said, he started having people come to him that were doing this on his own.
Scott, hold it right there. Obviously, Scott, what you want to know is how you extricate yourself from this problem you've found yourself in. Maybe Joe Bannister or his attorneys can give us some advice. Hold on through the break. We'll be back. Our guest is Joseph Bannister, 877-232-4855. This is Joseph Harris, WorldNet Daily Radioactive. Back after this. Li Ying spends 15 hours a day in a Chinese labor camp working on products for export. In prison, because of her Christian activities, the Voice of the Martyr started a letter-writing campaign to encourage her. So far, Sister Ying has received over 4,000 letters of support from Christians in the West. When her mail arrives, labor camp officials ask her, "How many overseas relatives do you have?" But Li Ying is not alone in her suffering. Christians in restricted nations like China, Egypt, and Indonesia daily face the threat of imprisonment, torture, and even death for their faith in Jesus Christ. Learn the truth. Call 888-843-1054 now to subscribe to the Voice of the Martyrs free monthly newsletter and find out how you can help. Call 888-843-1054 to sign up today. Your brothers and sisters need to know you care. Don't wait to begin receiving your copy of this award-winning newsletter. You will be inspired and encouraged. Again, that number is 888-843-1054.
If you have more than $7,500 in credit card debt, listen to these shocking facts. Debt can ruin your life. A great number of all marriages end in divorce due to financial problems. Many American families are only a few paychecks away from bankruptcy. There are secret programs that credit card companies don't want you to know about that will eliminate your debt. If you are drowning in credit card debt, there is a way out. Debt Relief of America can negotiate directly with your creditors to eliminate up to 75% of your credit card debt. Learn how to avoid bankruptcy and get more cash in your pocket. A DRA client's debt was recently reduced by over 26%. $6,000 on just one of their credit cards. Call Debt Relief of America for a free debt analysis by one of our debt relief specialists. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. For your free information, call now. 800-701-0512. That's 800-701-0512. Call toll free. 800-701-0512.
You can't imagine the liberation. Eric Tracy from Living Air. I recently flew cross-country and, believe it or not, arrived at my destination without those itchy eyes and a stuffy nose and a scratchy throat I usually get from breathing that recycled airplane air over and over again. You see, I was wearing the Fresh Air Buddy, yet another wonderful invention from the folks famous for air purification, Living Air. Right now, try, risk-free and in your home, a Living Air purification system. One bookshelf speaker-sized unit will clean the air of a 3,000-square-foot house. Now, you'll also get 50% off on a portable Fresh Air to Go for your office, car, or hotel room when you travel. And when you call Living Air, ask about the Fresh Air Buddy. It's about the size of a pager. It keeps your personal breathing space free of other people's germs and odors, and it's great for those occasions when you're packed in with people. Living Air. It works every time in every situation for millions of satisfied customers. Call 877-FRESH-94.
That's 877-373-7494. 877-373-7494.
Attention, investors. Are you looking for above-average returns and willing to take a risk in order to achieve them? I'm Patrick T. Parker from Barclay Financial, a specialty firm in futures and options. Now, I know that futures and options are a mystery to most people. Let us help you solve that mystery, because futures and options investing involves substantial risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Right now, we're making a major recommendation in the energy markets, and specifically heating oil. Currently known market news may already be factored into the underlying market price. Energy prices have been on the move. America is in an energy crisis. OPEC hasn't kept up on supplies. Refineries haven't been able to keep up with demand. Demand from China has been insatiable. Discover the options for your future. Call Barclay Financial right now for a free audio, video, or CD-ROM on options investing. Call 1-800-308-4100. That's 1-800-308-4100. Barclay Financial, mystery solved.
Now back to WorldNet Daily Radioactive. Here's Joseph Farah.
And it's the Joseph and Robert Hour, the Joseph Farah Show, and we've got Joseph Bannister with us, and two of his attorneys, Robert Bernhoft and Robert Barnes. We've got Scott on the line. He just presented us with his personal dilemma of non-filing and wants to know how he can extricate himself from this dilemma. Do any of you have any suggestions for him?
Well, I could just chime in and say, you know, it's not really a solution. I mean, one of the things that I, phenomenons that I encountered was that the IRS, you know, obviously treats the average American brutally when it encounters them and their number comes up. The other thing is that the majority of the public is either fearful of the IRS, or they're unaware of the IRS's authority, or they financially are unable to defend against the IRS. And that's, you know, most people are in that category. So that's why from the day one, I'm on this tightrope of needing to explain my situation, why I am an activist or why I say what I say, and yet not encourage people to go down this road. And of course, it, you know, different people treat this issue differently as far as what they suggest to people. And so I've always been fearful, especially since I was the guy that used to investigate people and see to it they're put in jail. I know the brutality of the IRS, and so I've always refrained from, you know, telling people, "Hey, why don't you give this a try?" And maybe Bob or Bob could chime in on that. Mr. Bernhoff?
I've really had difficulty hearing you, Joe. We were talking about Todd's personal situation there, his tax problem.
Scott
not as a non-filer for many years at the suggestion of other anti-tax activists, and now he's in trouble with the IRS. What can somebody in that situation do to extricate himself?
Well, Joseph, I'm just going to be candid, and I'm just going to exercise and discharge my duty of candor. My views on these things aren't particularly popular in certain quarters. It sometimes seems to us that attorneys like Jeff Dickstein, who is co-counsel with me in Joe's defense in the trial, Robert Barnes, Christopher Earl, and all of our people, and some other attorneys find themselves kind of in between truth and taxation, truth, honesty, movement, advocates, and government. My view is that these are political questions. These are political issues that have legal components. And in my view, it is unwise for individuals to go out there and expose themselves to deprivations of property and, of course, liberty, as Joe was threatened with 14 years of federal prison incarceration. It is unwise to do that, to not file the form and pay the tax under the IRS's version of the rules. I think that it's a much better strategy for people to aggregate their time and resources in grassroots activism, political action, and trying to get this issue of IRS enforcement of this tax code before the American people and develop a bigger groundswell of concern and opposition to the IRS's view of the law. It's a very difficult choice that men and women of principle face. Nonetheless, I think the truth and taxation movement needs less martyrs and needs more people who are willing to commit their time, their resources, and their talents to some sort of organized political movement. So that's my view on that situation.
That's exactly why I called, because I encourage people not to do what I did, and I encourage people like the organization that's housed up there in Boston to stop encouraging people to do this, because what they need to do is educate themselves and take it on from a political perspective. I knew when I called that there was no solution. I've gone ahead and filed. I'm going to try to work out a payment plan. I'm going to try to deal with it. I don't have a problem with supporting my country. I have a problem with the country abusing what we do, and people need to understand that what I did was a mistake. Taking on the IRS by yourself, you can't do it. You can't rely on other people to do it for you.
Scott, those comments are extremely well taken by me, and even though it's going to be a difficult process for you, and it's unpalatable, but I think you're doing the right thing there to protect yourself in the near short term, and the comments about an individual standing up against the government at very serious personal risk are also well taken. You know, Joe Bannister is a really an exceptional American, and his stand against what he perceived to be constitutional violating enforcement mechanisms, deliberate misreading of clear statutes and regulations. I mean, he was special in the sense that he felt he had an absolute paramount duty as a sworn federal law enforcement officer to go through channels and deal with these issues. And of course, part of the power of his story is that the code of silence that citizens get, but also a GS-13 ranking public servant. And the answer was, of course, no answers to the questions, was the code of silence, which we've seen over and over again, and they showed in the door. And I'd like to contextualize this a bit as well. You know, this prosecution here is really, in our view, part of a larger attempt by the IRS to criminalize First Amendment-protected speech, and perhaps most significantly, to send warning shots and signals to tax practitioners, whether they be attorneys or CPAs, not to aggressively advocate for their clients' interests.
Hmm.
This is a part of a larger program, in our view, of silencing advocacy, IRS attempting to intimidate competent, professional, but zealous advocates in the tax arena, and to chill effective advocacy. And this prosecution was frankly an outrage. And the fact that the prosecution was brought is telling, you know, regarding the administration's policy regarding political dissenters. After all, we're not living, I don't think yet, in the former Soviet Union or some totalitarian regime. The principle that a citizen like Joe Bannister can stand up and express his views about something so important to the average American, the average citizen, such as tax policy, and then even have the temerity to demand answers from the government, and that he could be, they would come after him with a criminal prosecution, in the government's view, facing 14 years of incarceration, is just simply un-American. There's just no other way to say that. I believe strongly, as a personal and professional matter, that American citizens have the right to ask their government questions. And the government has a duty to respond in good faith. It's an integral part of the democratic components of our republic. But apparently there are administrative agencies such as IRS who don't respect those fundamental principles of American politics and law. And that's one of the real stories here, the idea that the federal executive branch would attempt to shut Joe up by prosecuting him, attempting to destroy his life, and ultimately, if they were successful, he would be languishing in federal prison for a long time.
Very well said. Let's take some more calls at 877-232-4855. Let's start with Gail in Arizona.
Hello.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Mr. Bannister.
Yes.
I certainly followed your adventures, and I certainly applaud everything you've done. I'm an individual, and I'm concerned that some of the folks listening to you may attempt to do the wrong thing. The last speaker set the record very, very straight. If you are a citizen of the United States, the federal citizen, you really are a taxpayer. As of the 9th of March, 1933, when this country went into bankruptcy to the Federal Reserve, a lot of things were done. All the goods and services of the American people were pledged to that bankruptcy, and the present government, debtor in possession, is operating it. I believe that they're operating under a constitution written in 1873, revoked in 1875, and reinstituted in 1878. That's between the 41st Congress and the 45th Congress. And they are a government of the 10 square miles, the territories, etc., of the federal government. So I would caution people, be very, very careful about not paying taxes unless you take certain steps. I have revested title. I do not accept Social Security welfare. I'm 67. I've never taken a welfare check. I do not have a Social Security account active. I've declined that. So there's a lot of things that I've done that go beyond what the average citizen is liable to do and get in trouble for doing.
Appreciate the comment. Gail, any reaction to that? Joseph and Roberts.
I guess I would just say, I mean, he's obviously very knowledgeable, and he's done a lot of research on his own, which I think is important for everyone. But again, people need to exercise caution and just realize that one-on-one, the IRS generally wins. And the reason that I was able to win was, first of all, because I was innocent. But second of all, I had 5 or 6 years to gather support and people to contribute to my legal defense and people to get to know me and see that I was a cause worth fighting for. And the average American just doesn't have that access, and yet they should, you know, they shouldn't have to face what they do face when the IRS sets their sights on them. And, of course, that's why I do what I do. It's wrong for the average citizen who's trying to live their lives and have their rights protected by the government to find out that the government is scheming to eliminate their rights and just put them out on the street if they resist or if they ask questions. And it's just plain un-American, as Robert Bernhoff said.
Let's hear from some more American taxpayers at 877-232-4855. Juanita in Connecticut, your question or comment for Joseph Bannister.
Well, Mr. Ferrer, I'm glad that you took my call. I found your program today because of Joe Bannister's email out as far as what he's going to be, where he's going to be appearing. My question for Joe Bannister, is, number one, you gave the IRS a big wound. So is your future secure? Will you not worried about retaliation or anything like that?
Well, the thing that's always me is publicity. And not that I'm a publicity hound. I don't get paid to do radio shows or any of these speeches. But, as Bob Bernhoff said, the more Americans that learn about this, the better, and the better chance we have of correcting these injustices. So I hope that that the government has seen that they truly prosecuted an innocent man. And if they're ready to go for round two, then I guess I'll have to get the gloves back on and be ready. But I've always been an honorable person. I would not have survived an FBI and an IRS background investigation without leading a clean life. And so I hope that the government will, start doing the right thing one of these days. But we need more Americans to get on board and make them do so.
What does that mean, getting more Americans on board, Joe? How do they do that? How do people get involved?
Well, I think, as Bob kind of described, people end up having to spend just an enormous amount of time fighting the IRS if they decide, you know, I'm going to stop filing or stop paying, even though when they read the law, it looks like that might be the legally correct decision. The fact is the IRS can just destroy you in the way things are currently set up. So jumping on board would be, rather than spending that time floundering around trying to keep your head above water, network with other people who are of like mind, educate new people, you know, if they want to tell them about my story or about WorldNet Daily or about places where you can get information that you're not normally getting in the mainstream. The numbers do grow because people are interested in these issues, that, and they say to themselves, how come I never heard Peter Jennings talking about this? And you get to understand that there's a, you know, there's an agenda, and that there's all these alternative sources of information that once you check them out, they actually do check out. So I think just the, just getting people aware of this, say, hey, take a look at WorldNet Daily. Take a look at, you know, Joe Bannister's website. Learn this story. People will see that the very conduct of the government, the conduct of the mainstream media is an indictment of those systems. And I know, Joseph Farah, you've talked about that a number of times as far as the old media. When people see and just look at it and compare, there's no comparison.
What is Joe Bannister's website, by the way?
Well, the place where people can go to find out all the nitty-gritty details of the trial is joebannister.blogspot.com, and that's one N in Bannister, of course. And my flagship website is freedomabovefortune.com. And there's just lots of information and links. And again, I just would encourage people, educate themselves. The trial was incredible as far as what occurred, what was said, what the witnesses said. So I hope people will check that out.
Joe Bannister and company, attorneys, I want to thank you very much for your time. We'll visit with you again. Keep us posted on all the latest developments. We'll be back with more after this.
Each month.